Hello everybody, this is an audio update for altprowrestling.com. This is a show review for Come Hell or High Water. Come Hell or High Water was live on Fight TV from Atlanta, Georgia. And the commentators were Stu Myrick, Kevin Gill and Joey Janela. I'm reading the results from altprowrestling.com, the post that I wrote as the show was happening. So the pre-show started, and I missed the introductions, so I missed one whole team's of names. But the winners were Ethan Price, Cody Lane, and Zack Taylor. Not too much to say here. It was a pre-show match. Got the crowd going a little bit. Got the crowd ready for the main show, which started immediately after. The main show started with Eli Everfly versus Matt Cross. Everfly was the heel in this match, swearing at the crowd, putting his fingers up. Usual heel tactics. Lots of high flying in this match. It started off with lots of athletic moves, flips, rolls. They both ended up looking pretty even at the start. Crowd all cheered for that. Everfly kicks Matt Cross in the gut, and the crowd starts to boo, and that's what got the match off. This was a pretty good match. Everfly did a huge moonsault from the top rope down to the outside onto the floor on Matt Cross. At one point, I thought he was going to hit his legs on the railing. Luckily, he didn't. He landed, Matt Cross took it, and everyone seemed okay. The crowd cheered for that. Big pop. Moments later, back in the ring, Matt Cross hit a giant cutter, coming springboarding off the ropes, lands a cutter, goes up to the top and hits a shooting star press for the win. Matt Cross wins that match. The next match was a triple threat women's match. Penelope Ford versus Dahlia Doom versus Thunder Rosa. This was a really good match. I enjoyed this match. I didn't write too much about it because I watched it and I just enjoyed it. All three worked really hard. And I think the match worked for the crowd. Everyone really enjoyed that one. The winner was Thunder Rosa when she came off the top with a double foot stomp to Dahlia Doom onto the back as Dahlia Doom was rolling. She picks up the win. The ref counts three just as Penelope Ford was getting in the ring to break it up, but she was just a second too late. Good match. Next one was Ricky Starks versus All Ego Ethan Page. Starks is obviously local to the area. Everyone in the crowd seemed to know him. Apparently, the commentators played up that apparently he knows The Undertaker because he lives in the same area. I'm not sure if that's true or not. But during the match, Ricky Starks did The Undertaker's old school move, which Ethan Page just didn't sell at all. Ricky Starks also did a version of the People's Elbow, but he just, instead of, it was kind of like the Ricochet version where he goes to do a moonsault, but instead of doing the moonsault, he slowly just fell backwards onto All Ego. After a two count, All Ego rolled him up after that. All Ego was not selling that move. I forgot to mention before the match, Ethan Page picks up a mic, plays up that he's a babyface, which he's not usually. So he's a good guy here. He says, for one night only, he's from Atlanta, Georgia. And then makes some sports references that I didn't quite understand. Ricky Starks actually won this match. I think I actually missed the finish, but I looked up after typing and Ricky Starks had won. I think it was a roll-up of some sort. Ricky Starks, after the match, took a powder and went to the back, leaving All Ego in the ring, who then cut another promo saying about how he loves the town and how he wants to be from there. And he put on a local jersey, which got a huge pop. The next match was a triple threat match with three very different styles of wrestling. The first man out was Mil Muertes, a luchador. The third man, Casanova Valentine, a very well-known deathmatch wrestler. And the third man was Vernon White. I think it was Vernon the Tiger White they announced him for. And he was an MMA fighter. This almost immediately just turned into a brawl. They all fought through the crowd. Fought literally onto the people's chairs. They were fighting. They all stood on the chairs, brawling there. They got back into the ring. This was obviously a no DQ match. Got back into the ring. And then eventually, Mil Muertes pins Valentine with a face buster. It was like almost like a rock bottom, but backwards, where you hit their face into the mat. The finish seemed to come out of nowhere. Most of the match, I seemed to think that it was like, you know, getting into it and it was fun. And then all of a sudden, it just kind of ended. The commentators even played up that towards the end, they couldn't even see Vernon White. I hadn't seen him for a long time. I assumed he'd just gone home. Mil Muertes wins this. The next match, 8-person tag match. Alley Cat, Moonshine Mantle, Steve O'Reno, and Spider versus Joey Ryan, Kiku Taro, Effie, and Chris Wolf. Now, obviously, there's a lot of comedy in this match. This match went a little bit longer than the previous triple threat match. And it started off with lots of comedy. Joey Ryan trying to get Moonshine Mantle to touch his dick. But this actually broke out into a bit of a wrestling match where Moonshine Mantle started to get the heat on Joey Ryan. And then the whole team, Alley Cat, Steve O'Reno, and Spryder, and Moonshine Mantle, all got the heat, extended heat on Joey Ryan on this one. Eventually, Joey Ryan got his wish, and Moonshine Mantle grabbed the penis. And at this point, the whole team from Joey Ryan, so it was Joey Ryan, Kiku Tanu, Effie, and Chris Wolf, all had their opponents in a penis plex position. Try saying that three times. Alley Cat was holding the tail of Chris Wolf. They all did the penis plex except for Kiku Taro, who had Spryder holding his genitalia. Spryder would not flip. He was shaking his head and wagging his finger as Kiku Taro was trying to flip him. Joey Ryan came over, grabbed the other arm. They both flipped him. And then Joey Ryan flips his own teammate, Kiku Taro, onto Spryder. And they win. This finishes like moments after that with the lollipop in the mouth of Spryder and a super kick. Joey Ryan pins Spryder. So the winners for this are Joey Ryan, Effie, Kiku Taro, and Chris Wolf. That was a fun match. There's obviously going to be comedy match. I wasn't expecting as much wrestling, you know, serious wrestling from them, all the heat spots and stuff. I enjoyed it. After the match, Joey Ryan is cutting a promo, saying about how I couldn't really hear the promo on Fight TV too well. But he seemed to be like saying about how he loves Atlanta, Georgia and whatnot. And then the whole other team, Alley Cat, Moonshine Mantle, Steve O'Reno and Spryder, surround the ring, all jump in the ring and start beating down Joey Ryan. At this point, Hangman Page's music hits and the place goes nuts. Page walked down to the ring dressed in his gear with his jacket and stands by ringside. As he stands there looking at the four guys in the ring, Cody Rhodes' music plays. Cody comes out to the ring with Farrah, which was his first televised appearance since All In. And Cody and Paige, not Farrah, they had a third man with them recording this, I'm assuming, for Being the Elite. I think he took the dog. So Cody and Paige get in the ring, start to fight back, and then they get beaten down. It's 2-on-4. And then MJF runs to the ring. The commentators are confused because everyone knows MJF is an arsehole. But if you've been watching Being the Elite, Cody and MJF are like big friends, and Cody is calling MJF the salt of the earth and a really nice bloke, and he's like really nice in front of Cody's face, and then behind his back he's a piece of shit to the rest of the Elite. It's quite amusing. So MJF runs to the ring, he saves Cody and Hangman. They clear the ring. Everyone's really happy as Cody's playing it up to the crowd. So Cody's like walking around facing out to the crowd. MJF is sticking his finger right into Hangman's face. As Hangman goes to slap his hand away, Cody turns around and MJF just hugs Hangman. And then he sticks his thumb up at Cody like, yeah, it's all going great, man. It's very amusing. I'm looking forward to this week's Being the Elite. Cody cuts a promo after that saying everyone in the ring is elite, and then makes an exception saying except Joey Ryan, obviously, because he's got that lifetime contract with Lucha Underground, which they played up on Being the Elite recently when Joey Ryan was trying to get signed to All In, not All In, All Elite Wrestling. Then we had an intermission, about 10-15 minutes. Quite useful for me. I like shows with intermissions. We need a little break in the middle. Tony Schiavone is welcomed to the ring after intermission. Former WCW announcer and current MLW announcer. He comes to the ring and announces the next match. The next match is an open challenge with Timmy Danger. Timmy Danger has a man with him called Endgame something. I missed his surname. Timmy Danger basically says this is an open challenge that won't end until he is defeated, and he's going to run through the whole roster and the rest of the night will just be this. So the commentators are playing up like, can someone please come out and beat this guy? So the first guy down is Max Sex Sells, and they keep calling him Sex Sells. Didn't last very long. He got bleached blonde hair with like a brown beard, and I remember them playing it up like he got that from Steve Corino, because Steve Corino obviously used to have the blonde hair with a brown beard. Didn't last very long. He was pinned quickly. The next person out was Elijah Evans, and by the time I wrote that, he was pinned. The next person out was Glacier, the former WCW wrestler. Glacier gets a pretty big pop. He gets the obligatory "You Still Got It" chant. He comes down with literal chin chops, like uppercut chops to the chin. Does literally just a few chops, and then is loads of stalling, and eventually is rolled up by Timmy Danger. Timmy Danger beats Glacier. Next person down after Glacier is another former WCW wrestler, if you can call him that, the Yeti. Yes, everyone remembers the Yeti for grabbing Hulk Hogan in that weird position where he basically hugs him and shakes his arms backwards and forwards and it apparently almost killed Hulk Hogan during this story. I don't know. So basically, the Yeti does that. He grabs Timmy Danger and Endgame while they're on the ropes, constantly does this weird Yeti hug thing, and the ref disqualifies him because he counts to five and he wouldn't get off the ropes. Everyone seems really confused. Seemed kind of obvious to me. They were on the ropes. The ref counted to five. And then he said, ring the bell. It was disqualification. The Yeti just strolls off. Everyone's all really confused. Next person out after the Yeti is Brian Pillman Jr. Pillman Jr., this actually turns into a good match. Pillman Jr. can wrestle. He's still really, really young and really new to this, but he's picking it up very quickly, as you can see. He's working everywhere. He works for MLW. He's getting a lot of experience as he's going. This turned out to be a good match. I enjoyed the last match of this. And Pillman Jr. picks up the win with a weird sort of neckbreaker sort of roll. It was like he had him a front face lock and they kind of rolled to the side and hit a neckbreaker, and then Pillman wins with that. I don't know. I think they messed that one up a little bit. Conrad Thompson is in the back row of the venue. There isn't very many rows. They announce him. He stands up with his beer, waves to the fans. Everyone chants, and then chants, "Thank you, Conrad." That was it. Thank you, Conrad. The next match was a triple threat tag match. This was with the mystery partner for Tom Lawler. So we had Simon Grimm and Eddie Kingston versus Besties in the World, which I have to admit I'm not too familiar with the Besties in the World, but you know they did well. Versus Filthy Tom Lawler and the mystery guest, who turned out to be the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock. Now, when this was announced, everyone just like went mental, because the night before, Ken Shamrock faced Filthy Tom Lawler and they beat the hell out of each other all over the venue. Tonight, they're teammates. Now, this match starts with just a crazy brawl where all six guys just start fighting all over the venue. A table gets involved at one point. Filthy Tom Lawler jumps off the bar where you can see people cooking. They call it concession stand, I think. You see the cooks all like, they just stopped cooking to watch the match. It was quite funny. Tom Lawler jumps off that, takes out three guys. Shamrock is walking around ringside, just pummeling guys, punching them left and right. Guys just like obviously selling huge for Ken Shamrock. All of a sudden, this kind of ended up back in the ring and ended up being a normal tag match. Shamrock ends up on the apron first, asking for a tag. And then all the other teams ended up back on the apron. They're all asking for tags. Everyone got the extended heat on Filthy Tom in this one. When I say everyone, I mean Simon Grimm was beating him down because Filthy Tom and Simon Grimm have a current storyline in MLW where Simon Grimm turned on Tom Lawler. So Tom and Simon were wrestling, but Simon Grimm got the better of Tom and then would tag in Eddie Kingston and they would both beat down Tom Lawler. And then out of nowhere, the Besties in the World would tag in from like Eddie Kingston's back or something while they're wrestling. So then they would get the heat on Tom Lawler. And then even Simon Grimm and Eddie Kingston would tag in again and they would get another heat on Tom Lawler. At one point, the ref is trying to hold Ken Shamrock back from getting in the ring while every other guy gets in the ring and all stomps down Tom Lawler. Eventually, Ken Shamrock gets the tag, knocks out everyone, and then gets the ankle lock on one of the besties in the world and gets a submission win. Winners of this, Ken Shamrock and Filthy Tom Lawler. They celebrate as Filthy Tom sells his ass off because he's been beaten down for about 10 minutes by everyone. The next match was the semi-main event. This was MJF versus Scorpio Sky. Now, so far, this is probably the best just wrestling match on the card. They wrestled in the ring and by ringside, but Scorpio Sky really showed that he's got the experience edge over MJF. The fans are very behind Scorpio Sky in this one, all chanting SCU. Obviously a very pro-elite crowd. Scorpio Sky and SCU being the Elite a lot recently and signing to All Elite Wrestling. Sky tweeted earlier in the day that he will body slam MJF 10 times. And he actually did it. In this match, Scorpio Sky picked up MJF for 10 consecutive body slams. They both sold it. MJF's just laying there. Scorpio Sky crouches over. He's down to one knee. He's telling his back and the aches from lifting him up 10 times to body slam him. Took quite a while. And I thought there'd be some sort of swerve where he didn't get the 10 body slams. But he did. He got 10 consecutive body slams. Because he couldn't make the cover straight away, he pins MJF and only gets a 2 count. MJF did come back fighting and he got an armbar on Sky. But Sky fights out. And then the finish came when MJF shoves... Well, Scorpio Sky is about to jump over the ropes and springboard into the ring. MJF pulls the referee in front of him to block the Scorpio Sky. So Scorpio Sky just steps in the ring. And at that point, MJF shoves the referee into the ropes and low blows Scorpio Sky. The referee turns around and MJF rolls up Scorpio Sky with a small package. And the winner for this was Maxwell Jacob Friedman. Now it was the main event of the evening. The Lucha Brothers versus SoCal Uncensored, Kaz and Daniels. Now, I wish I got the timings for this match because it seemed like it did not go very long at all. But that's probably due to the action that happened. This starts off very quick. Lucha Brothers get the upper hand almost immediately on SoCal Uncensored. Flips, dives, springboards, double foot stomps, all sorts, just within minutes. This was just an insane amount of action. I didn't write too much for this because there's no way I'd be able to keep up with what they were doing. The fans were just... They were chanting, "This is awesome," before the match even started. They just could not wait for this match. This is... a first ever match, Lucha Brothers versus SoCal Uncensored. It seemed like it didn't go very long at all, but that's probably because of the action. It was so fast. Towards the end, the finish came when Rey Fénix did a dive over through the ropes. He was supposed to hit Kazarian, who was just stood on the outside. He went straight over Kazarian and into the fifth or sixth row. He wiped out a big chunk of the audience and the chairs. It was insane. This was moments after an assisted package pile driver where Penta holds up Christopher Daniels in the package pile driver. Fénix comes off the top rope for the double foot stomp, sending Daniels down to the pile driver. Fénix runs the ropes a couple of times because the ref was in the way the first time. That's maybe where he messed up. He got too much momentum. Comes shooting out of the ring, straight over Daniels, straight into the crowd. Not Daniels, Kazarian. I'm getting confused here. Straight over Kazarian and into the crowd. Kazarian and Rey Fénix then brawled through the crowd while the finish happened, because Penta picks up, Penta's watching this from the ring almost in amazement. You can see even on Penta's face, even with the mask and face paint, that was not expected. He was not expected to fly that fast. So they're brawling into the crowd. Penta picks up Daniels for another package pile driver and gets the win. That was an insane match. Insanity. Great match. I loved it. I would definitely go back and watch that one again, and maybe even a third time. After the match, the Young Bucks came to the ring. Penta and Fénix look wary. They're not quite sure. They don't trust the Young Bucks. At one point, Penta gets in the face of Matt Jackson, I think, and does his no fear, zero miedo, into the face. And then Nick Jackson gets the mic and says, "We come in peace," which got a bit of a laugh from the crowd. Matt Jackson then gets the mic and he thanks the Lucha Brothers for keeping tag team wrestling alive. He says that match proves to the world that tag team wrestling can be the main event. So almost immediately from being babyface here, he then calls the Lucha Brothers the second best tag team in the world. Obviously behind the Young Bucks. Penta did not like that one bit. So Fénix has to hold Penta back. And Matt Jackson basically says, "Well, if you want to prove that you're the best tag team in the world, then do it by wrestling for All Elite Wrestling." Now, the Young Bucks said that they didn't have any contracts on them. They didn't have any paperwork on them. But a handshake agreement would do. At this point, four or five random people. I know it's a couple of people from the Open Challenge earlier in the night, and a couple of other people. I'm not sure exactly who they were. They ran to the ring, and they beat down Matt Jackson, Nick Jackson, and the Lucha Brothers. At this point, SCU run back to the ring after being in the match. SCU and the Young Bucks and the Lucha Brothers clear up the ring. All finishes with super kicks, as you can imagine. Double super kicks from the Young Bucks to basically everyone that ran in to beat them up. And immediately after that, the Young Bucks and the Lucha Brothers all shook hands, hugged, and the announcers played it up like that was official. That was the Lucha Brothers in AEW, so big news there. Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks, show up and sign the Lucha Brothers. I mean, that was a really, really fun show for me. I loved it. It started here in the UK, it started at 1 a.m. and it went on till 5, just before 5 a.m. So it was a long show. It was a late one for me. But I loved every minute of it. I was wide awake by the end. I wasn't tired at all because I was fully engaged. Some pay-per-views at that time in the morning can struggle to engage me, and I can start to fall asleep and get tired. Not this show. Loved it. I'd probably go back and watch it again. I'm definitely glad I got this on Fight TV, and you can get it on Fight TV too. If you've not subscribed or signed up to Fight TV before, you can add the code N7DJQ9 and get $15 on sign up. That code is obviously on my blog at altprowrestling.com. You can find it right at the top of the Come Hell or High Water results post. That's going to be it from me. That was a really fun show. I loved it. Thank you for listening to this audio update for altprowrestling.com. Stay tuned, there will be more.